Today's daf is Sukkah daf Ches. We are holding on daf Zayin Amud Beis. As I mentioned at the end of yesterday's shiur, today we start with geometry because the Gemara said at the end of yesterday's daf that a round sukkah, according to Achirim, a sukkah asuya kishovach, a round sukkah is possible. So not everybody's going to agree that there is a problem with a round sukkah, and we're going to discuss, if you do have a round sukkah, how large does it have to be? So we're going to try to figure that out geometrically, what the parallel of all the sizes, or at least of one of the sizes of a square sukkah, would be in the world of round sukkahs. And then at the end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to tell us that the Rabbanan to Kisri had certain geometric formulas that were incorrect. The Gemara says Velohi, they had certain ideas about how things worked that were simply not correct. And Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to move on from the geometry and talk about if you have Shnei Sukkos Shel Yotzim, two huts that are Zulef Nimizu, what the halach is mi dine sukkah and what the halach is in dinim of mezuzah. And then the last thing we're going to discuss is sukkahs ganvach and sukkahs rakvash, a sukkah that's built by people who are not b'nei chiyuva, or a sukkah that's built just as a temporary hut and not as a dwelling place, and whether those are kosher or not. So let us pick up now from the toward the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Asuya Kikivshan, right above the line that's above where the picture of the circle is. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sukkah Asuya Kikivshan. If you have a sukkah that is built like a kivshan, when we say that it's built like a kivshan, we mean that it's a circle. So it is a little bit interesting. The Rishonim and Achronim try to work on why Acherim, when they described a circular sukkah, said Sukkah Asuya Kishovach. Shovach is round, and why with Rabbi Yochanan, when he describes a round sukkah, says sukkah asuya kikivshan? Is there any difference whatsoever between a sukkah asuya kishovach and a sukkah asuya kikivshan? So Pashtus says no, that there's just two different ways of describing it. Maybe one is describing a larger circle, one is describing a smaller circle. Sfasema suggests that maybe there is a difference, that a kivshan is only round on the top, whereas a shovach is round on the bottom as well. That a kivshan maybe on the bottom is more square, and then it turns into a circle on the top. But whatever the case may be, the assumption that the Rav Rishonim have over here is that we're talking about a round sukkah through and through, a regular round sukkah. So how large does it have to be? Im yesh be'kefer k'dei leishiv b'chav dalid b'nei adam, k'sheira v'imlav psula. In order for a round sukkah to be kosher, it has to be able to sit 24 people around the circumference of the sukkah, then it's large enough to be kosher. But any less than 24 people around the circumference of the sukkah, it's going to be possible. Sfasemis is not sure when you have a round sukkah. The Gemara never discusses what the dinim. The Gemara discusses the size of round sukkah, never discusses how many walls you need. Meaning, when you had a square sukkah, shtayim chilchasen u'shlishis avil tefach, one sheet and tanayim, that three walls plus a tefach. What about a round sukkah? How do you figure out how much do you make in a semicircle and then add a tefach? So the Sfasemis isn't sure whether, or maybe by a round sukkah, since it doesn't have corners, you always need it completely surrounded. Maybe you need all around. You can't cut any corners. You can't cut anything out of the walls. So the Sfasem is not sure. He's not sure what to do with that. The Gemara never says anything about that. Okay, but we're going to discuss. But what we do discuss is how large it has to be. So the Rabbi Yochanan Shita, it has to fit 24 people around the circumference of the sukkah. So Keman Kerebi, we must be assuming, just as a starting point, we have to be assuming the largest of the three shitos that we had in terms of the minimum size of a sukkah. We had three shitos. The Beis Hillel said that a sukkah needs to be 6x6 tefachim. Beis Shammai said it needs to be 7x7 tefachim. And Rebbe said it needs to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Now, certainly 6x6 tefachim and 7x7 tefachim is not ever going to be able to match up to a round sukkah that could seat 24 people around it. A 6x6 tefach sukkah could fit one person. 7x7, one person and his table. There's no way that in any way is going to relate to a sukkah that could fit 24 people around it. So even to get within the ballpark as a starting point to try to figure out where Rabbi Yochanan was coming from, we have to assume the largest possible minimum shear for a sukkah, which was the shita of Rabbi that it's dalet al dalet amos. So keman ke Rabbi damar kol sukkah shein ba'arba amos la'arba amos psula. We have to be assuming like Rabbi that a sukkah minimally needs to have 4 amos by 4 amos. So I asked the Gemara Michti, gavra ba'am siyasiv. We know one person takes up 1 amah. Kol sheyesh be kefo shloshet tefachim yesh bo rochav tefach. So the Gemara lays out some of the rules of geometry that we're going to be working with. When you want to figure out the circumference of a circle, look at the diameter and multiply that by 3. Meaning the Gemara is telling us that when you want to figure out what pi is in halacha, you can always assume that pi is 3. When you take the diameter of a circle, you could then figure out the circumference by simply multiplying it by 3. So if that's the case, betresar sagi, meaning if the minimum shear is 4 amos, so the diameter of the circle should be 4 amos, and therefore the circumference of a circle that has a 4 amos diameter should be 12. So, and since each person only takes up 1 amma, the sukkah should have to sit 12 people around the circumference of the circle, not 24 people. So even with the largest possible shear sukkah, we're still only half the size of what Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting. Rabbi Yochanan is still doubling up the size. So what's going on over here? Where does he get this idea that you need to fit 24 people around it? You should only need to fit 12 people around it. So says Gemara, no, hani mili bi igula. That's assuming that you're dealing with a circle that has a diameter of 4. Aval beribua bayetvei. But when you're dealing with a square, the square is going to be larger. Meaning, if you take a square and you draw a square that's 4 by 4 amos, the perimeter of that square is going to be a lot more than 12. So don't bring in a circle that has a diameter of four amos. When the minimum shear of a square was a square that's 4 by 4 amos, whose perimeter is a lot more than 12. So mechti, how much bigger is it? Kama merubi yosra li'igul, revia. It's 25% larger. So, or 33% larger. So bishitzar sagi. So it should be 16. Meaning, when you have a 4 by 4 square, what is the perimeter of that square? It's 16 amos. 4 amos for each wall. So you should need to have, so if you want the parallel of that in a circle, if you want to take the lines of the square that are 4 by 4 amos and turn it into a circle, so you should sit 16 people around in a circle, and there you'll have your circle of a 16 amos circumference. So you should only need a circumference of 16 amos, not 24. So again, we're still stuck. Why does Rabbi Yochanan assume that it's got to be 24? So says the Gemara, no, that's not the way we do it. Hani mili bi igul denafik migo rivua. You're talking about a circle that's inside of a square. So you say a circle inside of a square, the circle would be a 4 amos diameter, and the circumference of 12, and the square would be 16 amos around the perimeter of the square. Avul rivua denafik migo igula. But what if you tried to draw a circle around a square that's 4 by 4 amos? Then how large would the circumference of that circle be? So now it's going to be larger than 16. We're going to get a lot closer. So avul rivua denafik migo igula by its fame, Mishum Morsha Dekarnasa, because now the circle extends beyond the corners of the, in order to fit around the corners of the square, the circle extends beyond the square on all of its sides. So the circle is, in the second picture on the page, the circle is clearly larger than the square when you draw a circle around the square. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan must be assuming, that you take the smallest sukkah, 4 by 4 amos, the smallest square sukkah, 4 by 4 amos, you draw a circle around that square, and that's the minimum size of a circular sukkah. So says the Gemara, Michti, how large is this circle going to be? Well, let's figure out another important geometrical equation that also is not 100% accurate, but is close enough, the Gemara says, for determining halacha. Kol amsa b'ribua, amsa v'treichum shabalachsona. The Gemara's version of a squared plus b squared equals c squared is that any amma that you have on a square is going to make up 1.4 amos in the diagonal. So if you have a square that has 4 amma sides, the diagonal is going to be 5.6 amos, because 4 times 1.4 is 5.6. So if you have a square sukkah that's 4 by 4 amos, the diagonal of that sukkah is going to be 5.6 amos. So looking at the second picture, the diagonal of this square is 5.6 amos. The diagonal of this square also happens to be the diameter of the circle, and therefore, if you want to figure out what the circumference of that circle is, take 5.6 using our Talmudic geometry. 5.6, multiply it by 3, because 3 is pi, and then you'll figure out the circumference of that circle. So what is 5.6 times 3? So that is 16.8. So that's why, so says Gemara, but that's still not what Rabbi Yochanan said. So we keep doing all this math, and we're still off. So you should need is 16.8 amma circumference of a circle. Rabbi Yochanan said you need 24 amos, way off. So how can you say how could Rabbi Yochanan say you need 24 amos, even with the largest possible shear of a sukkah in terms of a square and drawing a circle around it, it's still only going to yield a circle that has a circumference of 16.8 amos. So says Mar Lo Duck. Okay, so he's not exactly right. 16.8, 24, close enough. So Emer Damrin Lo Duck Porta, Tuva Mi Amrin Lo Duck. Come on, that's not even close. Meaning you're not off by 6 when you're dealing with numbers in the millions over here. You're to say from 16.8 to 24, you're off by 7.2, and we're dealing with pretty small numbers. So Amrle Markashisha Breda of Chisel Ravashi. He says, no, we're making a fundamental error. We've been assuming the whole time that one person takes up one amma. So when Rabbi Yochanan measured the sukkah by using people and saying that you have to be able to sit 24 people around the sukkah, that he was assuming a circle that has a circumference of 24 amos. Not true. One person does not take up one amma. Tlasa gavri petarti amsi yasvi. No. Three people could sit in two amos. So when he has 24 people sitting around the sukkah, what he really has is 16 amos, meaning that's a 16 amos circumference. Ah, so kama havelu shitzar, that's 16. So anan shivson chichum shabinan. Aye, it's still a little bit off. We said the circle drawn around the 4x4 amos square is going to be 16.8 amos of circumference. And now, according to our new cheshbon, where three people fit into two amos, Rabbi Yochanan is requiring a circle that has only 16 amos of circumference, not 16.8. So lo duck, okay, there he's not being so exact. And that's not so far off. That's within an amma. So that's not so bad. But says Gemara, it is pretty bad. Because if you follow his instructions, you know what you're going to end up with? A pasul sukkah, if you follow his instructions exactly correctly. Because you're going to end up with a sukkah that's too small. It's one thing to overshoot it a little bit. So someone who follows your instructions, okay, no big deal. They'll end up with a sukkah that's slightly larger than the minimum shear. But if someone follows your instructions and ends up with a sukkah that's slightly smaller than the minimum shear, well, then it's a problem with those instructions. Emer damrin lo duck lechumra. It's one thing to be extra machmir when you're not being meduyik, but lakula miyamrin lo duck, to go lakula, we're going to say that you're not going to be exact, and we're going to be more lenient than the actual minimum shear. So that can't be either. So I'm leravasi leravashi liolam gavra ba'amsiyasev. He says no. We got to go back to what we were assuming the whole time. One person fits in one amma. So Rabbi Yochanan said 24 people around. Sounds like those 24 people make up 24 ammas. But Rabbi Yochanan makom gavri lo kachashiv. If you would draw a circle around those 24 people, you would have a circumference of 24 amos. But what if you would draw a circle inside of those 24 people? So then you would have instead of having a circle that would have a circumference of 24 amos and a diameter of 8 amos, since each person takes up an amma, you would have a diameter of 6 amos, because you would take off an amma from each end, and then you would draw the diameter would only be 6 amos, which would mean your circumference would be 6 times 3, which would be 18 amos. So then you're getting a lot closer. So Rabbi Yochanan Makom Gavri Lo Kachashiv, he wasn't counting the place where the people are actually sitting, meaning he was drawing the circle inside of the people, not outside of the people. So if you want to build the sukkah, don't build the sukkah and then try to seat 24 people inside of that sukkah. That's going to be way bigger than you actually need. If you want to build a circular sukkah, put 24 people in a circle and build the sukkah inside of them, and then you'll end up with the proper shear of a sukkah. So kama havalahu, how large will your sukkah actually be? How much of a circumference will it actually have? Timni srei, 18. I b'shivsar nechichum shasagya, but we said, using the cheshbon of a circle drawn around a 4x4 amma square, you only need 16.8 amos of circumference. You don't need 18 amos. Hainu d'lo dak, ulechum r'lo dak. Good, so that's inexact. but at least it's inexact l'chumra, and it's not off by that much. It's off by 1.2 amos, not so terrible to be off by 1.2 amos. So a couple of things over here. First of all, that the Gemara even thought for a moment to say, mi savrit gavra ba'amsi yasiv. Do you mean to say that who holds that a person takes up one amma? The Aruch Liner points out, what do you mean? We've been saying that the whole time. We said the minimum shear of a sukkah is 6 by 6 tefachim, which is another way of saying one amma by one amma, because it has to fit a person. And throughout all Shas, we always assume that a mikveh is one amma by one amma b'rom gimel amos. Why? Because it has to fit a person. A person takes up one amma. Now all of a sudden we're going to change all of Shas and we're going to say, oh no, we were off. Really, it's three people and two amos. How can we have a mina to say that the numbers are off in the rest of Shas, and that three people could really sit in two amos? So he suggests that maybe when we say that a person takes up one amma, it means a person standing comfortably takes up one amma. If you have a person or sitting comfortably takes up one amma, you have a person in a sukkah, he'll take up one amma. But when you get people together to measure something for a moment, so people don't mind squishing together to measure something for a moment, so they squish together a little bit more, there's a little more overlap, and then it will take up, they'll take up less space. You have to say something like that, because it can't possibly be that we're changing all the numbers from everywhere else in Shas, where we're always assuming that the dimensions of a person are one amma by one amma by a height of three ammas. So then we also pointed out that at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan was not being 100% meduyuk. He was being a little more machmir than actually required by telling us to have 24 people sit around that circle, but it was close enough. He ended up with 18 ammas instead of 16.8 ammas. The Ritva just has a very strong point. The Ritva says, well, wait a second. If you just would have said have 23 people sit around in the circle, then you would end up with a lot closer. It would still be a little bit l'chumra, but it would be a lot closer. Why would you? And he's still dealing with whole numbers. It's still 23 is a number just like 24. You know, he's not dealing with fractions. He doesn't have to say 16.8 or say he's dealing with whole numbers. So why not just say 23 people sit in the circle? So the Ritva Bedochak, he says, what you have to say is that Rabbi Yochanan preferred to draw a circle where not only is the circumference a whole number, but the diameter is a whole number as well. And again, assuming pi is 3, the diameter is a whole number. So when you're dealing with 24, 24 is divisible by 3, so that's what he preferred to deal with. Something that's easily measured, both circumference and the diameter could be easily measured using whole numbers. You have to say something like that, otherwise it's just completely off. Now, why is it that the Chachamim are more machmir, that we say l'chumra l'odak? So what was their intention? Why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan just tell us what the actual shear was? Meaning every and all of Shas were so exact. The Gemara in Baba Basra, in the second paragraph of Baba Basra, when it talks about you find a bird that can't fly and it's at a distance from the Shovach, if it's within 50 amos, it belongs to that Shovach. If it's more than 50 amos away, it doesn't belong to that Shovach. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the Shaila, what if it has 1 foot within 50 amos and 1 foot beyond 50 amos? They threw him out of the Beis Medrash. Why did they throw him out of the Beis Medrash? All the Rishonim explain. If the Chacham said 50 amos, it's 50 amos. It's not 50 amos and 1 inch. It's not 50 amos and 1 centimeter. It's 50 amos. So 1 foot beyond 50 amos? Yeah, so that's beyond. What are you even asking? It's not a Shaila. We're exact. We're precise in everything. So now all of a sudden we're not going to be so precise. Okay, L'chumra, a little bit off. So this is a discussion that the Rishonim and the Achronim have. In the Masifta over here, he quotes from a sefer Hamashicha Vatishporas, the Rabbi Avram Barchia Hanasi, where he discusses the mathematical geometrical sugyas in detail, apparently, and he suggests that the Gemara means to say that since these cheshbonos are not actually correct based on geometry, based on chachmei hamidos, meaning pi is not 3, and the a squared plus b squared equals c squared is not that kol amsa beribu is an amsa v'treichumshi be'alachsona, meaning it's a little bit off. All of these numbers are a little bit off. So since that's true, the chamur machmir, so that someone won't be makel based on the cheshbon that they give, meaning the chamur machmir with the numbers that you're going to yield because they realize that their numbers were a little off, so they created a safety net. So that's why they gave it in larger numbers. Others say that no, that's not what they were doing. They were just saying that that there's a halach l'moshe m'sinai, that we have the right shirim are halach l'moshe m'sinai. Part of the shirim of halach l'moshe m'sinai is that we have the right to make these equations. We have the right to make these assumptions that pi is actually 3 and it's not 3.141 or whatever the numbers are, however many digits you know pi until. That's the famous raya, I think they quote from the Gra, that when it describes it, the Gemara in Erevin, when it wants to know how do we know that pi equals 3, the Gemara says just look in the Navi, how the Navi describes the Yamsha Asa Shlomo, the Yamsha Shlomo, Shlomo Melech's mikvah or pool or whatever it was that Shlomo Melech made. So it describes dimensions of the Yamsha Shlomo where the circumference is 3 times the diameter of the pool. So it says, you see from there that pi equals 3. So all the Rishonim ask, the Tos HaRash and many of the Achronim ask the question, what do you mean? You need a source in Navi? What pi is? Why don't you take out a tape measure and figure out what pi is? Take a string and wrap it around the circle, and then take a string and run it across the circle, and you'll figure out the difference. You'll figure out the dimensions. You don't need a pasuk. You just need a little ingenuity to figure out what pi is. So what does it mean? We have to quote a pasuk from Navi. So that's what the Achronim point out. The Aruch HaShulchan points out. The Tosfos HaRash in the Rishonim, the Tosfos HaRash points it out, that what the Gemara is telling us is that we know that pi is not 3. We know that pi is actually more than 3. The Gemara is saying, how do I know that for halachic measurements by Erevin and by Sukkah, that you're allowed to make the assumption that pi equals 3? So that's how we know from the Yamshel Shlom we see that pi equals 3. And the remez that they quote from the Gra to indicate that the Navi knew full well that pi is actually more than 3 is that when it describes the diameter of the Yamshel Shlomo, Malachim Aleph, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, V'kov Shloshim Ba'ama Yasovo So Saviv. A kov of Shloshim Ama. So what does it mean, a kov? Kov is Vav Kuf Vav. But there's a Kri and a Ksiv. The Ksiv is Kava. So the word Kav, Begematria, Kuf Vav, Begematria is 106. Kava, Begematria, is 111. The ratio of 106 to 111 is the ratio of 3 to 3.141. So within the Kri and the Ksiv, you see the exact measurement of pi being hinted to, says the Gra, within the Kri and the Ksiv of the word Kav and Kava. It's not that the Navi didn't know pi, and it's not that Chazal didn't realize that they were off on the numbers of pi. They were off. They knew they were off, but the Halacha says you're allowed to be off by that much, that we're allowed to estimate L'nit Natorah L'malachi Asharis. This is also true when it comes to the other geometrical formula that we're using over here. The Gemara's version of A squared plus B squared equals C squared. The Gemara's one Amma Beribua is an Amsa B'trei Chumshi is 1.4 Amos Ba'alachsona. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I think I remember mentioning this in the past. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about the square of the tefillin. So he says that they told him b'shem the Brisker Rav that you have to be so medaktik in the revu of the tefillin that you have to use a microscope in order to get it exactly. It has to be exactly 100% perfectly square. So Rav Moshe says it's not true because we know the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you have to make sure your revu of tefillin is perfect. How do you make sure it's perfect? Measure one side and measure the diagonal, and if it's a ratio of 1 to 1.4, so then you're perfect. Then you know it's perfect. Rav Moshe says, but that's not perfect. That's off. It should be A squared plus B squared equals C squared. 1 to 1.4 is not true. It's not right. So he says, no, you see from there that it doesn't have to be perfect, perfect. It has to be perfect. You look at it, and it looks like it's perfect. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't believe that the Brisker Rav ever said such a thing, that you'd have to measure it so precisely. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that we could use the Talmudic geometry in order to figure out the square of the tefillin. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that was one way of figuring out Rabbi Yochanan's cheshbon. Where did Rabbi Yochanan get the idea that 24 people need to sit around the circle? He was talking about 24 people sitting around what would be the circle of the sukkah. The circle of the sukkah would be inside, and therefore he was actually drawing a circle that is an 18 amma circumference, and the real halacha is 16.8 amma circumference. So lo daku luchomer lo dak. Great. Rabbanan de kisri va'amri la dayani de kisri amri igula denafik migo rivua riva. So the Rabbanan de kisri, and some say the dayani de kisri, used to say that they have a different geometrical formula, where Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan was assuming like them, then Rabbi Yochanan is being pretty much exact. Because the way they would have it is that if you have a circle inside of a square, the square is 25% larger than the circle. But rivua dinafik migo igula palga. When you have a square inside of a circle, the circle will have a circumference that is 50% larger than the perimeter of that square. So if the perimeter of a square that's 4 by 4 amos is 16, so 50% larger than that is going to be 24. So the circumference of the circle is now going to be 24. If the Rabban and the Kisri are correct, which they are clearly not, but if they are correct that the circumference of a circle is 50% larger than the perimeter of the square that's inside of that circle, then Rabbi Yochanan was being 100% perfect. He was being 100% accurate by saying that the circumference of the circle needs to be 24 amos. Take the square that's 4 by 4 amos, put a circle around it, and now you need 24 amos. But says Gemara, Velohi, Da'ka Chazina, Delohavi, Kulehai. But it's not true. It's just not right. The Rabban and the Kisri were incorrect in terms of that measurement. So that's how Rashi understands, that they were just totally off. Everything was just totally off. Not all the Rishonim were so happy with that. How could they be so far off? The Rabban and the Kisri, Dayan and the Kisri, they sound like respectable people. No one thought to take a tape measure and to try to figure out if this was anywhere near what the actual measurements are supposed to be. So there's a significant discussion in this in the Rishonim over here. Someone made a mistake, meaning either the words Velohi are inaccurate, or the Rabbanan D'Kisri or Dayani D'Kisri made a mistake. Right? That's what the Rishonim work on. So some of the Rishonim suggest, Ritva the Meiri, that the Rabbanan D'Kisri, Dayani D'Kisri were exactly correct. And they go through a whole explanation of how they're not describing the circumference and the perimeter. What they're really describing is the area, and it actually comes a lot closer, and they're actually pretty much on the ball. And the only the Velohi, when the Gemara said Velohi, that's a mistake. So what does he mean, that's a mistake? So the Ritva writes, B'shem Miktas Gedolei Rabbeinu, that wasn't from the Gemara. That was added in. That Velohi was a comment added in by the Rabbanan Savarai. Why? Because the Rabbanan Savarai thought that the Rabbanan de Kisri were saying what Rashi said they were saying, which is just wrong, which is just off. So that's not really what the Rabbanan de Kisri were saying. So when the Rabbanan Savarai added in Velohi, it's because they misunderstood what the Rabbanan de Kisri were actually trying to say. This is one of the major sources that those who like to discuss the issue of whether Chazal could have ever been wrong about science and math, about anything that's just secular knowledge, not about halacha. Orthodox Jews don't believe Chazal could have been wrong about halacha, but anyone who believes that Chazal could have been wrong about science or mathematics, so this is one of the sources that they use. That you see, according to Rashi's understanding, the Rabban and the Kisri, Dayan and the Kisri were just wrong, according to Rashi's understanding. According to other Rishonim, no, you can't say that. It's intuitively you would say that they couldn't have been this wrong. Meaning, even if you could say that someone could, how could they have messed up something that's really so easily measured and so obvious? Intuitively, it's hard to understand how to understand Rashi over here. How that they could have been that much off. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. That's the end of the geometry lesson. Amar Rabbi Levi Mishum Rameir, Shtei Sukkos Shal Yotzrim Zulif Nimizu. If you have two Sukkos of Yotzrim, Yotzrei Klicheres, people who are in the pottery business, that are one inside of the other, meaning they would open up their store, they would have a hut where they would have an outer room where they would sell things, and an inner room where they would make things. They wouldn't make the pottery in the same room that they would sell the pottery. But these huts were like Sukkos. They were made like a regular Sukkah. So Apnimis Ein Sukkos, the inner room is not a sukkah, and it's chayev in mezuzah. V'achitzona, meaning it's chayev in mezuzah because it's a real living place, but it's not a sukkah. It's not the diras arai that we would normally have as a sukkah. V'achitzona sukkah, the outer room is a sukkah, but upatur min mezuzah, and therefore it's also pater from mezuzah. Now, if you look at Rashi, why is it that the Panimus is not a sukkah? So Rashi says, if you want to use that inner room on sukkahs, it's no good. We're going to learn in the Mishnah at the very beginning of tomorrow's daf that it's sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah that was not built for the sake of the yomtiv of sukkahs. You just happen to have a sukkah around that you built in the summertime because you wanted to enjoy, you wanted to build a gazebo in your backyard, so you built something that resembles a sukkah. So we're going to see that Beis Hillel holds that that's kosher, that's totally fine. So what's the problem with having this sukkah sayotrim, this hut that you've built, this inner room that you've built to sell your pottery or to make your pottery? What's the problem with it? So Rashi says, to lo minkara milsa, to lo shem sukkah hu darbo. When you're in there, it's not clear that you're there for the sake of sukkah. It's one thing if you have a structure that you didn't build for the sake of a sukkah, but at least when you go in it on sukkahs, it looks like you're trying to do the mitzvah of sukkah. When you go into this sukkah sayotrim, it's not even clear that you're trying to do the mitzvah of sukkah. To kol yemos hashana dayir hasam, because you live there all the time. You make that your residence all year round. Verov tashmishos hudasa v'sheinaso sham. A guy who's in the pottery business spends all day there, and he sleeps there, and he eats there, he does everything there. When you have a sukkah that you had a gazebo in your backyard that you built in the summertime, but it's unusual to bring your bed out there and to bring all your kelim out there and to live there for a week. So then it's obvious that you're living there l'shem the mitzvah of sukkah. But if you have a sukkah sayotzim where you work in pottery, so that's where you live. That inner hut is where you live all year round. It's not going to be recognizable just because you have your bed there and your kelim. Your bed there and your kelim are there all year round. So that's why it's no good for the mitzvah of sukkah. But it's chayiv in mezuzah because that's your dira. That's where you live. So of course it's going to be chayiv in mezuzah. So says Gemara, v'amai tavi chitzon kebeishar apnimis v'tzchayiv in mezuzah. But why is the outer room not chayiv in mezuzah? So we say, okay, the outer room is not chayiv in mezuzah because it's not somewhere where a person lives, and that's why it's a valid sukkah, because if you bring all your stuff there, it's recognizable that it's l'shem sukkah. But nevertheless, even a room that's not an actual beis dira is chayiv in mezuzah if it's a beis shar, if it leads into a room. Let's say, for example, we know that a room that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos is pater from mezuzah. A lot of people, when they open up the front door of their house, it doesn't lead right away into a room that's 4 amos by 4 amos. It has a small entranceway with a coat closet or something, and then there's another doorway that leads into the house. So do you need a mezuzah on your front door? It's only leading into an area that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos. But yes, you do need a mezuzah on the front door because it's a beis shar. It's the beis shar that goes into the house. So anything like that where you have where you always have mezuzahs leading into a hallway that leads into a room, even though the hallway is less than 4 amos by 4 amos. So why does the outer room not require a mezuzah if it's the only way to get into the inner room? So it's the passageway to get into the inner room. So says Mar Mishum Delo Kavia, because it's not kavua. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, first wide line, Mishum Delo Kavia, Lozu Velozu, Davar Kavua, Veina Pnimis Chashuva Lios La Beishar. The inner room of a place where a guy makes pottery is not a chashuv enough residence to be mechayev the room that leads into it in a mezuzah. Meaning it's barely scraping by as a residence in the first place. When you have a real residence, you have your house, so a beis shar into your house is going to be chayev in mezuzah. But a place that's not really much of a residence to begin with, so it itself may be chayev in mezuzah, but it's not chashuv enough to make the room that leads into it become chayev in mezuzah. So that's the mishum delo kavia. Now, a couple of things over here. First of all, hapanim is saying a sukkah, so we pointed out what Rashi says. The Rashi says the inner one is not a sukkah because it's not recognizable that you're there for the mitzvah of sukkahs. You're always there all year round. The Ran and Dafdal and Amaral Pedape Arif over here says that it's a different reason. He says because it's nasis ledira and not l'shem tzel, and therefore it's tasav lo mina asui ledira lo otsar. He says that it's not made for to provide shade, that's not the reason that you made it just as a place to provide shade. You made it originally ledira, so therefore when you now turn it into a sukkah that provides shade, it's a violation of tasav lo mina asui. So the Bach explains in Tafresh Lamed Hey that the machlokas is based on the Gemara we're going to see in less than a week from now. The Gemara in Daf Yudalid that sukkah amarachmanu v'lo dirasu shel kol yemos hashana. What does it mean that you have to have a sukkah, but it shouldn't be your dira of all year round? So according to the Ran, the anytime your sukkah is your dira of kol yemos hashana, it's pasul. If your sukkah is the place that you live in the whole year, by definition, that's pasul. Whereas Rashi would say that if you're mesachich kederach hamesachichin, you put schach up, let's sell, like normal schach would be, even if it happens to be your dira of Kol Yimos Hashana, it's kosher because Shem Schach Aleha. So Rashi has to say over here that the psul is because it's not nikar she sukkah, but me'etzem adin, it's me'etzem din dira. There's no chisaron. It's just that it's not nikar in your ma'isa that it's l'shem sukkah. So meaning what the Bach is trying to say and what he says explicitly is that according to Rashi, the psul is only drabanan. That the reason the inner place can't be used is because daraisa can be used. It's fine. It's not a problem of dira shel kol hashana kula, because the problem of dira shel kol hashana kula is in the structure of what you build. And if you build a normal sukkah type structure, even if you happen to live there all year round, that's kosher on a daraisa level. It's only midrabanan that it's problematic. Whereas the Ran will assume, no, if you live there all year round, it's a psul midaraisa. They use this machlokas to explain why the Rambam leaves out sukkah sayotzim. It's interesting. He doesn't leave it out entirely. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah quotes this din of sukkah sayotzim zulif nimizu, but he doesn't quote it in Hilchos Sukkah. He leaves it out of Hilchos Sukkah. So the Aruch Hanar explains that the Rambam must have learned like Rashi, that the chisaron in sukkah sayotzim is because there's no hecker. So what's the difference between sukkah sayotzim that's possible because there's no hecker, and what we're about to learn, sukkah rakvash and ganvach, where you have people putting up huts to watch produce out, to watch fruit dry, or to watch different things in the field, and we say the Gemara is about to say that all of that is kosher, so there's no difference. The Rambam understands that the Gemara we're about to see is cholek on this Gemara that we just read, and therefore he says we don't paskin like the Gemara that we just read, and that's why he doesn't quote the whole sukkah sayotzim. That's how the Aruch Liner understands the Rambam. So let's see the sukkah's ganvach sugya. So Tan Rabbanan, last sugya on the daf. Tan Rabbanan. Ganvach. If you have a sukkah that's a sukkah made by any of the following four people that could be abbreviated with the abbreviation ganvach. Sukkas goyim, number one, a sukkah made by a goy. Sukkas nashim, a sukkah made by women. Women are not chayiv in sukkah. Sukkas behema, a sukkah that's hollowed out by a behema, let's say, or built by a behema. So a shelter built by a behema. Sukkas kutim, or a sukkah built by kutim. Or a sukkah mikol makom, or anything like that. Or even sukkos that are less than that in some way, ksheira. All such sukkos are kosher. As long as the schach is proper. So my kilchsa, what do you mean as long as the schach is proper? What? That you need silasim ru mechamasa? That you can't have, it's got to be from things that are not mekabel tumah? What does it mean that meschach is kilchsa? Obviously, those halachos have to be fulfilled over here. So what does that phrase mean? So amar chista v'usha asal l'tzal sukkah. It means that you have to have made it to provide shade. That initially, when you put that shade there, it had to be made litzel sukkah. That's what kihulchasa means in this context. Mikol makom lasu yemai. And what are we adding when we say sukkah mikol makom? That said, not only ganvach, but even lesser sukkos, sukkos mikol makom, are kosher. So lasu sukkos rakvash. That comes to include sukkos that can be abbreviated with the word rakvash. What does that mean? The Tanur Rabbanan, like we learned in the Braisa, sukkos rakvash, a sukkah that could be abbreviated with the phrase with the word rakvash, which means sukkas roim, a sukkah that a shepherd would build when he's watching the sheep. He wants to build himself a little shelter out there to shade himself from the sun. Sukkas kayatzim, people who are watching fruit dry out in the sun, they want to build themselves a little hut. Sukkas burganin, people who are guards of the city, so they stand in the outskirts of the city. Also, they want to have a little hut, to a guard booth. Sukkas shomrei peiros, the sukkah of people who are watching or guarding fruits. Sukkah mikol makom, or anything even less than that, kshera. All of these sukkahs are kasher. So b'vach te mesuchachas kilchasa, as long as it's mesuchachas kilchasa. So my kilchasa, what does it mean? Mesuchachas kilchasa. Amar Rav Chisda, v'ushasa l'tzel sukkah. It means that it has to be made for the sake of tzel sukkah, that you have to put the schach up to provide shade. But mikol makom lasuyemai, what is the in this brisa where we talk about sukkahs rakvash? What's the mikol makom coming to include? By sukkahs ganvach, we said the mikol makom means even a lesser sukkah that was coming to include rakvash. By rakvash, what's the mikol makom coming to include? What's a lesser sukkah than rakvash? Says marat lasuyi sukkahs ganvach. That brisa assumes that a lesser sukkah than a rakvash is the sukkahs ganvach, is the first type of sukkah. Hay tana de ganvach halima. The Brisa that taught us about Sukkos Ganvach thought Ganvach was a stronger Sukkah than Rakvash, because at least Sukkos Ganvach is a more kavua place. Sukkos Rakvash is very temporary in nature. So that's why he referred to Sukkos Rakvash as Sukkah Mikol Makom, as a mashahu of a Sukkah, you know, just any Sukkah Kolshu. That's what Sukkah Mikol Makom means, something less than Ganvach. What about the other Brisa? The Tana that taught the Brisa about Sukkos Rakvash prefers to say Rakvash, thinks Rakvash rather is a stronger form of Sukkah, because at least the people who build it are Chayiv in Sukkah. The Tana Mikol Makom Lasui Ganvach, and Mikol Makom comes to include a lesser Sukkah. What's the lesser Sukkah? That's Sukkah's Ganvach, Delav B'nei Chiyuva Ninu, because the people who build it are not B'nei Chiyuva at all. So that's the question in general. So each one, what did they do? They said the type of Sukkah that is in fact the lesser Chiddush. And then they said as the bigger Chiddush, Mikol Makom. That's the way Rashi understands, that's the way we've been explaining the Gemara. That the Tana that said Sukkos Ganvach thinks Sukkos Ganvach is not such a big Chiddush. Sukkos Rakvash is the bigger Chiddush, and it referred to Sukkos Rakvash as just Mikol Makom. So the Aruch Lener says, yeah, that's exactly how Tanaim write all the time. V'derech lozu avzu. That not only is this true, but even something else, even a bigger Chiddush, that we save the bigger Chiddush for the last. And that's why Sukkos Mikol Makom. But the Aruch Lener just points out, if it was being written in lozu avzu form, so it is within the phrase ganvach, it's a little bit strange to have it in that order, that Sukkos Goyim is first. If we want to save the biggest chiddush for last, so what's a bigger chiddush? A Sukkos Goy or a Sukkos Kuti? Well, a Kuti was Megayer. They may be Geri Arayos, maybe Geri Emes, Machlokas, whether their Geirus was a sincere Geirus or not a sincere Geirus. Okay, but you want to assume it's Geri Arayos, but that's a chiddush to say that it's Geri Arayos, at least, that there's a Geirus isn't. A Goy is a lesser, is less of a chiddush. So even Mineu Bey within the phrase, it's not lozu avzu, it's out of order. So that's what Aruch Lener points out, that even if Ganvach is a lesser chiddush than Rakvash, so that's why you save Rakvash for a phrase at the end by calling it Sukkos Mikol Makom, but within the phrase of Ganvach, you're not doing in the style of lozu avzu. There are Rishonim that say the opposite, that say that the Brisa that says Sukkos Ganvach thinks that Ganvach is a bigger Chiddush than Rakvash. And the Brisa that says Rakvash thinks Rakvash is a bigger Chiddush. The Ritva quotes such a Shita, that the Brisa says b'mefurash whatever is the bigger Chiddush, and Sukkot Mikol Makom is the lesser Chiddush, which means the Brisa of Ganvach thought that the Ganvach, there's more reason to pasul because it's kavua for itself, shall call Yimos Hashana. It's set there for all year round. So it's more like a Dira. So that's why Ganvach is a bigger Chiddush, and that's what it means, that it's kavua, that he prefers to say Ganvach because it's kavua, which means, and therefore you'd have more reason to assume it's pasul. And the Brisa that says Rakvash thinks Rakvash is more of a reason to say it's pasul because they're b'nei chiyuva, and therefore it's more like a kavua place because it's made by b'nei chiyuva, and therefore it's more of a reason to assume that it's pasul because of that sense of kavius. Now the important point over here, sukkas nashim, when we talk about people who are not b'nei chiyuva making a mitzvah, building something that you use for a mitzvah. So the Gemara is explicit that sukkah is ganvach is kosher. Sukkah made by a guy, sukkah made by a woman. Rav Shechter told us the story that when he was a kid growing up in Philadelphia, or maybe this was after his father moved to the Bronx already, he said that there was a conservative shul in town, and the conservative rabbi went to his father and said, there was a new conservative rabbi who was a little more modern, and the conservative chazan didn't like the new rabbi. He thought he wasn't frum enough. So the chazan from the conservative shul came to Rav Shechter's father and said, is a guy allowed to build the sukkah? So he said, yeah, sukkah's ganvach is kasher, because the rabbi had allowed the guy to build the conservative rabbi allowed the guy to build the sukkah. So he said, yeah, it's fine. So he said, no, there's a guy building the sukkah. So he said, wait a second, isn't your sukkah built inside anyway? So your sukkah's he said, no, but forget the inside part. There's a guy allowed to do it. So sukkah's ganvach is fine. But what about an isha? So also, it's beferish. Sukkah's nashim is totally kasher. There's nothing wrong with sukkah's nashim. So this is a difficult thing, because there is a machlokas rishonim where the women are allowed to make tzitzis. L'chor, it's the same thing. If a woman is not a bar chiyuv and a mitzvah, can she produce the cheftza shel mitzvah? So Rov Poskim say, yeah, nashim are kosher to make tzitzis. There's no problem with a woman making tzitzis. That's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Archaim Simin Yadalit Sif Aleph. However, the Maram holds that a woman is not betoras asiyas tzitzis because she's not chayiv in levisha tzitzis. Just like we have a drush in the Gemara that a woman cannot write tefillin because of kshartem uchsaftem, only someone who's a bar kshir, only someone who's chayiv in tefillin, and women are not chayiv in tefillin, can write tefillin. So by tzitzis also, only someone who's chayiv in tzitzis can make the tzitzis. That's how the Maram writes. And the Mordechai says that the minig is that Nashim make tzitzis, but nevertheless, the Maram holds not that way. Now they quote from Rabbeinu Tam, however, that also not that way, that a woman should not make tzitzis. However, there are two different reasons given. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Tam holds that the psul of tzitzis that's made by women is because they're not betoras tzitzis. Maram gives a little bit of a different psul. He darshens from the psukim b'nei Yisrael va'asu. He darshens from the pasuk there. It's called b'nei Yisrael, and then it talks about asiyas tzitzis. So only b'nei Yisrael, not b'nos Yisrael, can make tzitzis. So the Rishonim will point out that our Gemara is against Rabbeinu Tam. May not be against Maram. Maram may have a special drasha about tzitzis that women shouldn't make tzitzis, but it's against Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds that any mitzvah that a woman is not chayiv and she's not allowed to make, what do you mean? A woman is allowed to make sukkah. So it's a little bit difficult to understand that why it is. Now it happens to be the Rama writes that l'chadchila we should be choshesh for the sheet of Maram at least, that a woman should not make tzitzis, and the Mishnah Berurah says that who adin that a katan shouldn't make tzitzis, because a katan for a gadol, that we often teach children how to make tzitzis, it's a nice thing to do, but they shouldn't be making tzitzis for a gadol because they're not a bar chiyuva. So someone who's not a bar chiyuva should not be making it for someone who is a bar chiyuva. So Rav Moshe has an interesting idea in the Tshuva Nigros Moshe Chaim Chelkei Simin Mem Os Gimel, where he distinguishes between tzitzis and sukkah, where he says sukkah is more just a hechitimtza, that you have to make sure that there is a sukkah built in order to be able to the mitzvah of sukkah. Whereas tzitzis, there's something more about the asiya. The asiya itself is part of the mitzvah. If tzitzis would just appear without anyone making them, it would not be good tzitzis. But by sukkah, even though there's a psul of tasav lo min asvay, but it's just a hechitimtza. It's very unclear to me exactly what chiluk he's trying to draw, but he tries to draw such a chiluk to explain the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay.